nation. You have climbed, you have fought, you have won. But this valley that lies cold before you casts a shadow that you cannot overcome. And just when you thought you had it all together, you knew every verse to get you through. But this time all the sorrow broke more than just your heart. Instead of asking why, Lord, did this happen, think of where it can lead you from here. And as your pain is slowly easing, you can find a greater reason to live your life triumphant. Yes, He's the answer for your soul. And though some may say He doesn't fit with their philosophy, I know Jesus is still.
Thank you, thank you. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Job, chapter 16. Job chapter 16, we'll read one verse to get us into the message. I'm amazed at how God leads the special music to complement the message. And it ought to be that way when God's in it. We don't confer with each other what I'm going to preach and what they should sing. And I'm grateful to a God that's in His work and in this church and leads His people if we'll listen to Him. If you found your place in Job chapter 16, stand, and I shall begin to read in verse number 12, one verse. The title of my message today is Three Promises from God to Those with a Broken Heart. Three promises from God to those with a broken heart. Listen to Job as he speaks in verse number 12 of chapter 16. I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark. Now that's a powerful statement. You can get a little understanding of what Job was going through by the remarks he makes, the statements he makes in verse number 12. I was at ease. He said, man, I was just taking everything for granted. I was on a downhill slide. I was at ease. But he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark. I want to speak on the subject, three promises from God to those with a broken heart. Help me this morning, Lord Jesus, as I bring this message. Lord, I don't know why in my own wisdom, why you would have me to preach this message on this Sunday morning. But I feel with all my heart this is the message you want me to preach. Somebody needs what I'm about to say. Somebody needs the help, the encouragement, and the strength they can receive from the promises. They need to know that their broken heart and the troubles they're going through at this time is not the end if we'll be faithful and keep on trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me to be a blessing and a help to these dear folks who have come out on this hot summer Sunday, and save every unsaved person that's in this building today. We beg you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's not a person here who cannot associate in some way with Mr. Job and his sorrow and hurts as referred to in our verse for this morning's reading. Now, be sure you understand this fact that Job was not living in willful sin as accused by his friends. God said he was the best Christian in all of the land at that time. The Bible says he feared God and despised evil. He had a happy family and a good marriage. And he was both very blessed and very prosperous. In the first statement of chapter 16, verse 12, Job said that he was at ease. I wonder how many of you over the last few years, with the economy being good, has you've gotten things to the place where you've gotten easy. You've began to take it easy and enjoy a little prosperity and blessing. Job said he was at ease. He had the world by the tail going downhill. Things were going his way. The sunshine of gladness was shining upon him. The flowers were blooming around him. And the birds were singing his song. And then out of the blue, just out of the blue, his life fell apart. He came under severe attack by the devil. All 10 of his children were killed in one day. All of his cattle, his sheep, and his donkeys, all of his livestock were taken away or destroyed along with all of his servants but one, the one that delivered the message. All of his great wealth was lost in one day. Then Job took sick with boils, running feverish sores from the top of his head, the Bible says, to the bottom of his feet. His wife could not comfort him, and instead she mocked him. His friends turned against him and accused him of hidden sin. No wonder Job wrote in verse number 12, he hath broken me asunder, he hath taken me by the neck and shaken me to pieces. Have you ever felt like that? I have. I've asked the question, what have I done to deserve this? And if you'll be honest, you've asked it too at some time or another. And it may be that you've not done anything to deserve it. I thank God that God doesn't always give us what we deserve. I have a sermon I preach from time to time entitled, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Now I want you to know Job was good people. He was not living in willful sin or rebellion against God. Yet God allowed, and the key word is allowed, all those things to happen to him. Why? Why? You see, it's only through trials and testings is our Christian faith proven and purified. When we're faithful through trials and tough time, God receives great glory from our lives. And it's the purpose of our life and our redemption so that we might be able to glorify God with our lives. That's God's purpose in our life. The question was asked in John chapter 9 about a man born blind. And the question was asked, was this man born blind because his mother sinned or his father sinned? And Jesus answered the question, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. If you're going through tough times now, God may be just putting you in a place and trying to get you in a condition where your life can glorify God and he can be manifest in your life. You do know God wants to be seen in us. The gospel that every unsaved person can read is the gospel according to your life when you live it for Jesus. And your life is even either a great testimony for Jesus Christ, or your life is against Christianity and against Christ. The problems did not come on Job because of sin in his life, but that others might see in years to come how to remain faithful to God through tough times. The example of how Job dealt with his suffering and his hurt is still helping people today, thousands of years later. God is receiving greater glory because of it. What God was doing in all of the things that were happening in Job's life is God was strengthening Job and preparing him for greater blessings than he had ever known before. Job 42:12 says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. You read Job 42 and you'll find out God gave Job twice as much wealth after the trials and testing than he had before. He also gave him 10 more children. Now, he didn't give him 20 more. 10's enough for anyone. Besides that, at one time, he had 10 in heaven and 10 on earth. If you're right with God this morning, what is God trying to do with your life? He's allowing you to go through some things. If you're right with God, he's allowing this to strengthen you, to purify your life. He's trying to get you into the place where he can be manifest in you and glorify him in a greater way. He may be trying to prepare your life for greater blessing or greater service. If you're not right with God this morning, I assure you that God is going to do some things to try to get you right with him. God will not allow a Christian to live in sin and get by with it. God's going to try to get you right through chastening. And if he can't get you right, if your heart is so rebellious and so wrong, God will just take you out of this life. You'd be better off in heaven than down here leading others astray and mocking his name. We're all going through tough times and dark valleys at one time or another. There are times when we feel broken asunder and shaken to pieces. It may be that Satan is using you for target practice today. He's got his crosshairs lined up on you. Today, I have three promises from God to every Christian that's dealing with a broken heart. And I want to read those three promises to you from God. They're all in the book of Psalms. We'll begin with Psalm 34, verse 18 and 19. The Bible says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." You may not be able to find your way out, but God can deliver you. And then over in Psalm 51, verse 17, the Bible makes this statement: "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." God is saying that if you'll live faithful and get right and stay right through your broken heart, that God will look at it as a sacrifice to Him. And then in Psalm 147, verse 3, talking about God, "He healeth the broken heart and bindeth up their wounds." Now I want us to look at these three promises for our message this morning. First of all, God has promised to be very near those of His children who have a broken heart. The Bible says the Lord is nigh unto them, very near them that are of a broken heart. And may I say to you today that no matter how heavy the burden, God has promised to be near you. No matter how deep the valley might be, God will be very near to you as you go through it. No matter how dark the night, God is there to comfort you and to light the way. He's promised to be near you. No matter how many tears you have shed, God is still very near His children with a broken heart. That's His promise to us. He'll be near us, those with a broken heart. He will never leave or forsake His children with a broken heart. He said, instead, quite the contrary, I will be very near you, draw nigh to you. And I want you to know, if you're one of God's children with a broken heart, He is so close to you this morning, He can hear the slightest whisper of help from your lips. If you're that Christian with a broken heart today, He's near enough to reach out and comfort you if you'll allow Him. You haven't been forsaken by God. You've got that broken heart. You've got tear-stained eyes. Your head is swollen and hurting from weeping, and your eyes are swollen from your tears, and you think your life has fallen apart. Let me tell you, there is a God in heaven who has promised His children that He is very nigh unto thee. Instead of trying to handle this thing by yourself, why don't you turn it over to God? Instead of trying to take it in your own hands and do everything, why don't you yield to Him and say, "Lord, I am Your child, You're my God. I don't know exactly all You're trying to accomplish, but I don't want to fight against You. I want to yield to You. And I want You to do Your work so You can get glory from my life. And so my life will be better able to manifest the Lord Jesus Christ than ever before." Be sure of this: He'll never leave nor forsake His children with a broken heart. He knows what it is to be forsaken. For there when they nailed Him on Calvary's cross in order that He might die as a sinner for our sins, though He had no sin, God abandoned Him for a minute turned his back on him. Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The answer is God forsook Jesus on the cross so he'd never have to forsake his children in this life. And when they faced the problems of a broken heart and a broken life. Make very sure that he's your God. If he's your God, there's a personal acquaintance and a personal relationship. You've been born into his family. You know, when I grew up as a boy in East Texas, there was one man that was my father. There were many men in the neighborhood that I knew and were acquainted with, but there was one man as my father, and I was born into his family. And may I say, there is only one God, and that's the Lord God, Jehovah God. And you'd better make sure he is your God and not just an acquaintance. And he's not your God until you've been born into the family. Jesus said, no man can come to the Father but by me. Jesus is the means, the one that made it possible for us to be born again. He died in our place. He was forsaken for us that we might never be forsaken by God if he is our Father. Have you invited him into your heart and life? Have you personally trusted him as Savior? What right do you have to call him your God and you haven't invited him to be your Savior? What right do you have to say that he's my God and you've never put your faith and trust in his finished work for you on Calvary? He is God. He is the only God, but he is not your God until you have invited him into your heart and your life. Even Jesus made that distinction when he walked on this earth because he said to those who call themselves Pharisees and religious, but were not saved, you are of your father the devil. Because they had never put their trust in Christ. They had never received him as Savior. And I ask you this morning, have you? Have you? If you're without Jesus, then you're going to face your heartaches alone. This promise is not to people in general. It is to God's children, those who are a part of his family. Are you a part of his family? Have you been born again? Have you accepted him as your Savior? If you have, you have the promise that he is very nigh. He is very nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as of a contrite spirit. The second promise that I want to mention to you is Psalm 51 verse 17. God has promised to consider our broken heart as a sacrifice unto him if we'll stay faithful and true while in our sorrow. Psalm 51 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. While in our sorrow and suffering, while dealing with our broken heart, we're promised that God will be near us, and if we'll stay faithful to him, that our broken and contrite heart will be accepted as a sacrifice unto God. If you're going through hurt and sorrow, so as to have a broken heart, get God's benefit from it. Let him draw near to you and you draw near to him. By the way, you can't draw near to him without dealing with sin in your life. In this same passage where he said in Psalm 51 that he would accept that broken and contrite heart as a sacrifice to him. He's saying that after David is getting right with God about sin in his life. David had sinned. He'd committed adultery. And you know what his broken heart was because of his sin? not only the shame and the guilt of that sin against God, but the little baby that was born to he and Bathsheba had died. And David knew it was the judgment of God against his sin. David had gotten so hard-hearted and away from God, God couldn't get to his heart. But God always knows how to get a hold of us and to deal with his heart. So God dealt with him through his child. You say, that's terrible. Yeah, the little child went on to heaven. And listen, heaven's not a terrible place. Yes, it hurts. Yes, we grieve. Yes, we suffer the loss of those we love. But let me tell you, heaven's not a place of dread and fear to the child of God or for little babies either. It is the home God has prepared for us and for them. No wonder Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:5, talking about a broken heart being accepted as a sacrifice unto God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5, in the last part of that verse, he said he would glory in his infirmities. Well, Paul knew what it was to live with a broken heart. He gloried in his infirmities because he knew there was not much he could give to God. He could give his life in service and he could give his life as a living sacrifice. And he did not discount the fact that a broken and contrite heart was accepted as a sacrifice unto God by God. If we would stay right and faithful. Paul realized the truth that is presented here. God wants his children to face their trials and testings with faith in him and faithfulness to him. What God is trying to do for us through our broken hearts, our trials and our testing, is to put our life together in such a way we will love him first and serve him first. Where is God in your life? Is he first place, second place, third place? Preacher said this week in the youth conference, you want to see where God is? Open your checkbook and look how much you're involved in God's work financially. He's trying to put our lives together in such a way we'll love him and serve him. He's trying to strengthen our lives and marriages. He's trying to put us in a place where our faith can be strengthened. Maybe trying to get us right with God. Through all our heartaches and trials and testings, we must remember that God said to his children, he is near us, he is with us. We don't have to go through them alone. We need to understand that God intends them for our good and his glory, though they may not feel good. Not everything that is good for us feels good to us while we're going through it. I have my knees are bone on bone, and when I walk, it hurts terribly. And I have arthritis in those knees. I went to the doctor, and he diagnosed it and said, there's not a whole lot we can do except give you some new knees. We can inject some stuff in there that'll help a little while. And I said, well, let's help a little while. So he got a needle about that long and about as big around as my finger. And it had barbs on it, it felt like. Oh, it was awful, man. It wasn't that big or that long, but it seemed like it. And he'd stick that needle into your knee joint. And he'd squirt some stuff and wiggle it around and squirt some more and pull it out and stick it in again and squirt some more. And I said, oh, that's a blessing. He said, I've never heard it put that way. But what God was doing, though it was hurting for a little while, it was going to be for good. And what God is trying to do in our lives through our heartaches and our sorrows and our hurts, He's doing it, intending it for our good and His glory. Don't fight against it. Don't rebel against it. Don't get angry about it. Yield to God. Remember, it's for our good and His glory. And the heartaches and trials that we go through can result in spiritual growth in our life and cleansing spiritually in our life if we'll yield to God. As we believe God and trust God and remain faithful, we can be assured that He'll accept our broken heart as a sacrificial offering unto Him. That's His promise. One more promise. Psalm 147, verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. The broken heart's not going to be forever. God said He'd heal that broken heart and bind up our wounds. And here's the promise. God has promised to heal our broken hearts and to bind up our wounds if we'll turn our hurt and our heartaches over to Him. Don't fight against Him. Yield to it. Dear soul, turn your heartaches over to God today. Yield to His will. Yield to His Word. Allow Him to have that broken heart to accomplish His purpose in your life and bring Him glory. When I was in junior high school, 11th grade, I broke both my legs playing football. I wore casts from my waist down to my ankles for 6 months and 21 days. I got bad knees on my mind. But two bad knees feel like 21 bad knees, okay? The doctor told me that if I'd put pressure on my legs as they were healing and I'd do the therapy that they had given me, my legs would be stronger in the area of the break than they were before the break. May I say to you, if you'll let God have that broken heart, you'll yield it to Him. He'll be very near to you. He'll accept it as a sacrifice to Him, and He'll heal that broken heart, and you'll be stronger than you were before the broken heart. Why is your heart broken? Why are you going through the heartaches you're going through? I'm here today to tell you that there is a God who loves you and is very near to you. He wants to accept that broken heart as a sacrifice to Him if you'll remain faithful through that time of a broken and contrite heart. He wants us to know that He'll heal it and bind it up if we'll come to Him and yield to Him. The question was asked, is there a balm, B-A-L-M, not B-O-M-B, B-A-L-M in Gilead? Yes, there's salve. Yes, there's anointment. Yes, there's healing in God for a broken heart. But we must come to Him. When my middle daughter, Karen, was 2.5 years old in Sunday school. She's a mother of 5 children now. The Sunday school teacher was teaching about one lost sheep. And she taught about Jesus going out to find that sheep. And then when she finished the lesson, she said, "What did Jesus do when He found the lost sheep?" And my little 2.5-year-old Karen said, and she said, "Karen, what did Jesus do?" She said, "He put a Band-Aid on its owie." That's what God has promised to do to our broken heart if we'll draw near to Him. Yield to Him. Stay faithful to Him. He's promised to heal our broken heart and bind up that broken heart. Let me again ask, why is your heart broken? Is it broken because of sin? What do you do? Repent. Get back to God. Get right with God. God can forgive that sin and heal your broken heart. If it's broken because of time of testing and trials, then stay faithful to God. yield to His will. He's trying to help you and strengthen you and bless you. He promises that He is near and He'll accept that broken heart as a sacrifice to Him if we'll remain right and faithful. And He's promised to heal our broken heart and to bind it up. God's very aware of what you're going through. He's very aware of your broken heart this morning. He's trying to do something with your life for God that will bring Him glory and be good for you. God cannot do something with us or for us until we yield to Him so He can do something to us. We want to live in rebellion, live with a hard heart, and live in sin, and still have God bless us and God's approval. It won't happen. He's near you this morning. He has promised to accept your broken heart as a sacrifice unto Him if you'll remain faithful. And He has promised to heal your broken heart and bind it up. Instead of trying to handle your broken heart and your broken life by yourself, why don't you yield them to God this morning and claim His promises? Why don't you draw near to Him and He'll draw near to you? He's already so close He can see your need. He knows where you are and He can speak to your heart. And I have no doubt while I've been preaching, God's been speaking to someone about their need. Someone about their broken heart. Why is your heart broken? Why are you going through what you're going through? Is it sin? Or is it God testing you and trying to prove you and strengthen you and declare you faithful to Him? What we need to do is not run from, but run to God. We need to yield to His will and yield to His word. If you're here today and you're unsaved, the first thing you need to do is to trust Him as your Savior. If you're here today and you're unchurched, you're not in church serving God, what do you need to do? You need to obey Him and get in church. Be faithful to Him, and so much the more as the day of His coming approaches. We need to be so much the more Christians. Instead of making excuses why we don't serve God, we need to be so much the more, in spite of the broken heart, in spite of the economy, in spite of the cost of fuel, in spite of all that's going on, faithful to Him. Claim His promises of nearness and accepting our broken heart as a sacrifice and His promise of healing that broken heart and binding it up. One thing I know, when God got through with Job, his life was a shining light for God. And he's been testifying and helping people for thousands of years since he went through his broken heart experiences. And God wants you to be a blessing and a help. But you must trust Him and come to Him first. You must be right with Him and yield to Him with all your heart. Father, that's our message this morning.